Welcome everyone to Around the ACL. Michelle Thompson here with Trey Ryder and Wally Kassler. And we have an entire show about our very first pro event coming up this weekend. Let's go.
Finally.
It's finally here. It's finally here. We're going to talk about the schedule. We're going to talk about singles, teams, elite players, and some contender or pretender. So good show here for you. Wally, I know you're already there. So you got, feet on the ground. What's it like?
There's something about a nice breeze, palm trees, and a rental car Mercedes that puts you in a good
Whoa.
Mood, ready for the weekend. Yeah.
No wonder you're trying to pick us all up at the airport.
Yeah, I had no problem driving at all for this one. It's actually weird because it's the cheapest rental car that was available. Like the SUV, the midsize sedan, they were all more expensive than the luxury midsize. So, I picked Jake up a little bit ago. He's like, "You got a Mercedes, bro?" I was like, "Nothing but the best for kickoff battle, man. Let's get right into it, you know?"
We've really stepped it up.
Yeah.
Starting off bougie. I like it.
Yeah, I was happy with it. I was like, going up to my spot and I was like, "Oh, a Durango. All right, cool." And then on the other side of Durango, decked out Mercedes with a big, like 15-inch monitor in the middle of the TV or in the middle of the screen. I'll take it.
Done. Deal. And then, Trey, when do you get there?
I fly in tomorrow, so I'm early, and I get to spend all day tomorrow working with a brand new sponsor that we're doing some content with. So I can't release any names yet, but we'll be announcing a brand new sponsor tomorrow. That's going to be a new title sponsor of our ACL Pro Series, our ACL Pro Tour. So it'll be great. They'll come in and. Really great partner, already great to work with. So excited for all that. So it'd be good for everybody to tune in and show some support. So more to come on that.
Awesome. Well, I get in tomorrow around 11 PM. I finally figured out after two seasons that I can book later flights because 11 PM Eastern is not 11 PM for me. So I'm actually better off sleeping in. Because I used to book 6 a.m. flights, which means I have to wake up at 2:30 in the morning to get to the airport on time. And then I could get to the place around 3, 4 o'clock because I was worried about getting in too late. But then I was like, wait a second. I am 3 hours behind. This is stupid. I'm sleeping in, taking later flights. I got this season mastered, you guys.
Yeah, I'm such a diva when it comes to nonstop flights. Like I inconvenienced myself at the beginning. Like I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Just to take a nonstop flight, only to get to the hotel and still not be able to check in for 2 other hours. So, like, I could have taken the flight with a stop in between and gotten here and ready to go about the exact same time. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, what weather you've been having, but my weather has been absolutely terrible. It's been 70 degrees, followed by a hailstorm, then 30-degree weather. It's just been cold and miserable everywhere I've gone. West Virginia, Detroit had snow. So I am feeling this 60, 70-degree weather right now. I am in cloud 9. I'm telling you, I'm in a good mood.
Glad to hear it. All right. Well, let's get into it. I wanted to start off by going through the schedule, make sure you guys know when to watch everything, whether it's live stream or the TV broadcast. So on Thursday, you can tune into the live stream at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be your shootout singles. That's the normal places you're used to. ACL Cornhole TV, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and now this season, ESPN Plus. So you can check it out there if you'd like. And then at 8 p.m., it's going to be the Florida Freeze versus the Georgia Sliders on CBS Sports Network. That is a live broadcast where you can find Trey of broadcasting, me sideline reporting, and Wally in the audience, question mark?
Maybe.
Okay, we shall see.
All I right, forgot my Florida Freeze hat, though. I begged Jeremy Frazier forever for one, and he gave me one. I forgot it at home. So,
oh my goodness! After all that,
I know.
Well, then we get into Friday. We're going to start off at 10 a.m. for pro women's doubles. That's going to be at your live stream court. All the various plays places I said earlier, and then we have national singles at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's going to take us into. Oh, there's also going to be the recording. If you're going to be there in person, we're going to record the CBS broadcast at 9:30, Ringers versus Burn. So please, if you're in the area, come join us for a broadcast. We do have VIP tables available and all sorts of various ways that you can sit in the audience or general admission for free. Saturday, we have 11:30 a.m. It's going to be ACL Pro Teams. That's going to be on your live stream court. And then you're going to be able to watch that CBS broadcast, the Burn versus the Ringers. That's on regular CBS. And then 3 p.m. is your national doubles. That takes us to Sunday. 10 a.m. is going to be your shootout doubles, 3 p.m. women's seniors and juniors singles, and 3 p.m. pro blind draw. Now, depending on what you want to watch, you're going to tune into one place or the other. The blind draw can be found on ESPN Plus, and then the women's seniors juniors is going to be ACL Cornhole TV, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. So that is going to be your schedule there. And we are so excited. Also, if you're going to be there on Friday, we're going to have the recordings for both of those. So that's going to be the Coasters and Woodchucks and the Ringers and the Burn. So you'll be there from 7 to about 10:30 if you sit for both broadcasts there. And I always tell people, because like I have friends coming for the Vegas one, I'm like, just so you know, if you're in the audience, you will be on TV. It's not like you're in an NFL game where you're hoping to get a flash of, you know, something, or you got to be like courtside at a basketball game. In the audience at a cornhole event, you're going to get time on TV. And then they all said they're going to wear shirts with my faces. And I regretted telling them that immediately. So,
well, it's better than someone having a sign that says Trey Ryder drives a minivan. Remember that sign?
Yeah, that's a good try.
You don't remember that one?
Yeah,
I was in Michigan.
That was the one I jacked.
It was the Michigan crew. Trey Ryder drives a minivan. I was like, first of all, just shots fired, like out of left field. Like I'm just catching strays from the crowd. Second, why?
Like Trey Ryder is a Disney adult would have been such a better one.
Gosh.
That would have made so much more sense.
That was Bob Stein. From When I Jacks, man, those guys are great though. But
that's amazing. No, I don't
think
remember
they
that.
Rented
at all.
Out every table, didn't they? I think they had the whole section. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're
they all had Trey Ryder has minivan drives a minivan signs. So,
oh man, I'm definitely looking forward to Vegas next month so I could have some local friends there. But this is going to be a fun event. So we talked about doubles last week. We're gonna get into singles this week. Lots to dive into here. But Trey, who is sticking out to you, or who are you looking at?
Yeah. So I a couple things I just wanted to touch on. I just had my preview article. So, and that just released on social media. So, you know, promotional plug, I guess, for that, to check that out. But in it, I talk about a lot of different players, and I talk about a lot of things. And the theme that I had for this was finally, and finally being, you know, so many times we talk about finally, it's the end, right? It's finally we've reached where we want to be, and we've done all these different things. But in cornhole, sometimes that finally has hit early in the season. It's finally the season is starting. But even when players get that win, sometimes that breakout win that's felt like a long time coming has started at the beginning of the season. So if we go back, you know, a few years and we look at 2022, Matt Guy finally gets that big singles national win after years of just winning alongside Jamie Graham. And it had been years since he won some big events, you know, outside of opens and things of that nature. He gets that signature win in 2022, right? Going, you know, even back to the world champion Jamie Graham back in 2020, it was finally I get the opportunity to get back on the right track after he had had a couple years of not super well succeeding, right? And so he did that. He won his first event, and he goes on to put together one of the most dominant seasons that we've ever seen, right? So many different times when we talk about the start of the season, the kickoff battle for me has been a chance for people to say, finally, Damon Dennis in 2021, he wins that big event and at the kickoff battle again, he's teary eyed. We get the emotional cheese plant farmer talking about what cornhole and his family means to everybody. Like that's what it's all about. Right. So we're finally here at the season. So I think that was a really good thing. But then when I look at like individual players, right. I talked about the world champs, the three last world champs, Jamie Graham, Trey Birchfield, and Mark Richards. All three have won the past four world championships within the ACL. I think all of them come into the season in really, really good positions. Mark Richards, obviously, the last time we had a non-world championship national event, Mark Richards wins it, right? He won the final chase at the end of last season. We look at Jamie Graham. Last time he was at a pro event, he won the world championship, right? So he's in the best form he's ever been in. And although Trey Birchfield hasn't had the singles success recently, there's no doubt right now that him and Adam Hisner are the best team in the world at the moment, right? They've won, you know, two straight opens, almost a third. Birchfield's won everything. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? What they've been able to accomplish. And so the world champs are coming in hot. And so I look for those. I look for kind of that next tier of people that aren't the current world champs and haven't won a world championship, but should be there at the end. People like Justin Burton Jr., who I think is going to come out swinging. He swept this event last season. I think he's in the great form again to do something similar. You know, high expectations to say he's going to sweep it, but certainly he's going to come out as someone who's going to be favored in just about every game that he plays. Alex Rawls has won a pro event each of the last few seasons. He's going to be tough to beat, as always. Even Gavin Cano and Fisher Hamilton, both in doubles and also in singles, I think have an opportunity to make a deep run. And then, of course, I look over on the singles side of things on the rookies. You know, I think everybody is going to have their eyes on the two highest profile rookies out there right now, Jeremiah Ellis and Ryan Trader. And I think, you know, if you polled 50% of the audience, as long as you remove the Ellies, I think we'll get an even 50-50 split of who's had a better open season. Trader has more true wins. He's won two opens, and he has the head-to-head against Ellis. Ellis has won his bracket just about in every single event that he's been to, with the exception of one. So, and he has, of course, the most recent open win. So these two in particular, when we talk about the battles that we're going to see across the year, I'm loving to see the battle for that rookie of the year between those two. I think those are going to be the front runners for it. You can't overlook people like Caden Allen, Sammy Soto, who are going to make runs of their own and could end up winning it. But certainly as we look to start this season, I know both Jeremiah Ellis and Ryan Trader are both saying, finally, right? I've been waiting to get to my first event, right? I've been having so much success at the open level, but now I have that success here. And the key for them this weekend is just going to be reset, right? Treat it like you have been playing so far. If you try to treat it as something different, that would worry me, because you can't. Because if you say this means more, this is more important, and you add that level of pressure onto yourself, you're not going to play like you have been playing at these events where you've seen so much success. So that's my word of caution to Ellis and Trader.
Do you think it's backwards for Tony Smith?
Yeah, probably. It is. It's almost like a lack of desire to, you know, it's almost like it doesn't get his competitive juices flowing. He's such a type B personality. It takes a lot for him to get motivated, I guess. And so for him to be motivated at an open, he's just not going to get that level of motivation. Maybe when he plays with Mark, though, because the times that we've seen him play with Mark, it's all of a sudden like, okay, now he's like more focused. I think he almost feels that level of pressure of having to deliver for Mark. And I almost want to see that sustained pressure. So Tony Smith is going to remind everybody who he is this weekend, right? Now, whether or not he wins, that's a completely different story. That's a crapshoot. But I would be shocked if Tony Smith comes out flat and doesn't succeed at a high level.
All right. Wally, who are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could say the same thing there with, you know, Noah Almanza last year there. Nobody expected Almanza to get off to a slow start. He was on everybody's radar. So if Tony Smith comes out in the same way, has a tough draw in the bracket or something like that, I cannot wait to see overreaction Monday or Tuesday, whatever we're going to record that on. But, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, we got Jake's takes, we got Trey's takes. There's really nothing for me. So I decided to do K9's 9, you know, why not, right? So I'll go with my 9 players that I want to watch out for. Before I get into that, though, I want to give some love to the ladies. You know, some of the K9 ladies, Zoe Gan. I want to see what Zoe Gan brings to the table. You know, it's her rookie debut, basically. She's been, you know, having a lot of success at her conference and her state tournaments. So I want to see what she does there. Deb Odom, you know, Elizabeth Tennyson, they've been having a lot of success on the smaller scale. And I'm kind of curious about the women's division this year, because with Cheyenne and Cameron both having the babies and stepping away for a little bit, and then Kaylee Hunter kind of elevating herself to the top of that platform, Rosie having the surgery, you know, I think the women's division is wide open. So are we going to get the Cheyenne of old, or are any of these ladies going to step up to the plate and take over that number one spot early? I think it should be an interesting women's weekend for us. But, yeah, my 9 players I want to look out for. Alex Rawls, you know, he's looking to get into the double digits in titles wins. He's already got one on the season. He won a national last year. He's more than capable. It's showing that that surgery that he had earlier did not slow him down at all. He's still got the skills. And I always get nervous whenever I see somebody switch bag companies. Alex Rawls has excelled. I think he's actually gotten better switching to this bag company. He's got the rippers working. He's still got the center lane control, speed control, best in the game. I expect Alex Rawls to come out swinging. Chris Kingsbury, somebody on my radar. Was it a fluke last year? Or is he actually that good? He's always gone up against some of the best players and played his best games. So I'm wondering if it's going to be another wait till the end of the season, peak for him, or is he going to be able to do it throughout all these nationals? Jamie Graham, I got a lot of slack for not putting Jamie Graham number one, number two on my list. I made my list in November, people, okay? I don't change my list. I reposted it just for, for conversation starters.
And well, that's worse. That's like right after his win.
Right. I got so many DMs about Jamie Graham. But, yes, I don't get to watch Jamie Graham personally. I only get to see, what Trey says about Jamie Graham. So, yes, I say this a lot, but I am excited to watch Jamie Graham play this weekend. I want to see it in person, see what this version of him looks like. My player for the season, Fisher Hamilton. It's hard to believe that he is a sophomore. He's already got eight titles, Trey. Eight titles in the rookie season. Fisher Hamilton coming out swinging in his rookie season. I want to see if he can follow it up in his sophomore year. I wasn't really impressed with him at the last Open, but I don't know. Something just seemed off with him that last Open. I want to see if he can, get the mental rebound. Caleb Batson, I have no idea. He's on my radar. Caleb Batson is one of these players that everyone says he is going to be the best in the world now that he's out of school and he's got time to practice. We heard it over and over and over again, but I haven't seen it yet. So now is this little Tony Smith thing? Is he going to get elevated to another level now that it's becoming pro season time? Or is Caleb Batson kind of just coasting until something matters? Kyle Malone, no idea. Again, haven't seen Kyle Malone travel really since Open number one. Devin Harbaugh has been having a lot of success in doubles with other players. But, what is Devin Harbaugh and Kyle Malone going to look like? And more importantly, where's his singles game? Last year, he had that single success in the shootout, and he talked about, I want to be a better singles player. I think you got to play against some strong competition. Now, Florida's got strong competition, but you still got to travel. You got to get all that stuff in. Now, luckily for him, we're in his backyard. We're in Florida. So it's not like he has to adjust too much. But what does Kyle Malone's single game look like? And then finishing up with the final three, Gavin Cano, he has been remarkable this entire season, going deep into brackets. You guys think he's got a finishing problem. I just think it's not his time yet. Gavin Cano, he wants it really, really bad. And I'm a little nervous if the pressure is putting on that he's putting on himself is going to translate into a kind of a slump of a game. Frank Verona, rookie season. But if his role is working, Frank Verona can control the center lane and roll pretty much better than anybody in the game right now. And I want to see how that translates in a pro field, because he's done great in Canada. He's done great at Opens. But if all he has to play against is pros, how is that going to translate for Frank Verona? And then finally, Nika Morales did very, very well in singles last year. Continues to hit me up in the DMs, telling me that I forgot to put him on my list. All right, Nico, Trey said it last year. If you hit us up and you want us to watch you, now we're going to watch you. Now you got to back it up.
Prove it. That was Trey's favorite thing to say.
Yeah, it was. I said I needed a shirt with it on there. I thought you said, said something interesting in there, Wally, that actually brought up a good point, which was that this first event is critically important. And I would say even this shootout singles, which is going to be the first thing that we play on Thursday, and even go before that, let's get even crazier. Let's go back to all the way to rounders, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question.
Here we go.
Who was the number one seed after just rounders before the kickoff battle last year? Who got the number one seed coming out of that doubles bracket?
How do you possibly know that?
Schermerhorn and Nystad?
No.
Oh.
Eddie Grindersleeve and Caleb Batson. Now, you say, well, duh, Trey, that makes sense. I would say, I think for a second, you shouldn't think about the end result backing up the fact that, yeah, they earned the number one seed. They were the best team. What if that one day was able to set them up for the entire season to have a really successful year? Because of their seeding out of those rounders, They had a decent run at the kickoff battle. Then going into the Cornhole Mania, they had a good seed, allowed them to ramp up and allowed them to play their best when it mattered. And that's when they went on that historic run. Then when we look at the third event and the fourth event and the World Championships, they're dealing with the number one seed. Eddie Grindersleeve and Caleb Batson were only the one, not the one seed for one event last season. That makes a difference. Having that really good seed out of the gate, I think, is going to play a critical role in people's success throughout the entire year this year. On the flip side of that, right? Having a bad seed or having a bad draw or not having a great first event, we've seen time and time of that, how that can compound on itself and create this really negative effect for a top player. We saw it with someone, say, you know, Noah Almanza, this past season that you brought up, right? This is someone that
also,
If you look at, and Ryan Wiedenfeld, you look at how those two were seeded and played in that first kickoff battle event last season, and you look at who they lost to and you go, could they have won that game? Sure. Should they have? I mean, maybe. But at the same time, it was an even battle. But because of where they ended up via rounders, that's where they ended up. They had a tough break. And then the rest of the season, they're playing uphill. So I think it just goes to show how critical, when we talk about these rounders coming out, both for singles and doubles, they really are in order to shape the seeding for these initial events. So it's not something that's going to be streamed, but you know, if you look at your leaderboard and you pay attention to it, like, the ability to go 3-0 versus 2-1 may make the difference between someone being a top 20 team and a top 50 team as we get towards the second half of the season with the scheduling and the teams that all these players are going to have to end up playing.
Yeah, and you never know. Sometimes you might catch somebody in an off game, or you might just have the best game of your career during the right moment. But I have literally heard pros say, it doesn't matter, it's just rounders. Mm. And I've literally heard them say the same exact tournament, we just had tough matchups. You did it to yourself. You put yourself
one
in that exact
position. One equals the other.
Exactly. So, yeah.
This is preventable.
Everything matters.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It just wouldn't surprise me that when we see who those top five seeds are going into that first bracket, like, just put a pin in that and put a mental note of, like, how do those teams fare throughout the entire season, and how do those players fare for the entire season, right? Because it makes a difference having the good seed out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, we are going to get into our teams. Our first one is the Freeze versus the Sliders. That is, once again, Thursday at 8 p.m. It is live, so you can watch that on CBS Sports. You see the players there in the graphic. I'm not going to read them all, but Trey, any notes on these matchups or anybody you want to highlight?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, we've been saying it all offseason, and my goodness, when I started looking at the lineups, you just continue to get reminded how ridiculous the Freeze lineup is. I mean, you look at this: Alex Rawls, Alan Rawls, Chris Kingsbury, Cheyenne Bubenheim. Like, I'm trying to go in order here, and I haven't even gotten to, like, number seven before I say the words Jeremy Frazier. Your seventh best player on your team is Jeremy Frazier, right? We're talking about Matt Sorrells being number eight, and that's just assuming that, you know, PJ Knott isn't as good as Sorrells or Andrew Labrador, Curtis Haddock, you know. It's absolutely loaded. Now, what I will say is I really do like the Sliders and how they have revamped their team and how they have added some really good puzzle pieces. They added Ryan Wiedenfeld in the offseason via a trade. They did add Josh Holland to pair alongside a Duncan Clemmer, right? So I think they have an opportunity to steal some wins. In this scenario, like, when I look at, you know, these aren't matches anymore. It's not best of seven. They're just seven regular season games, a part of their 108 game regular season. But you certainly want to try to win as many as that you can, right? And if the Sliders are going to have a season in which they want to have some really good success and possibly get into the playoffs, it's going to require them to win some games like we see there in game one. Duncan Clemmer and Josh Holland have to be vintage Clemmer and Holland. Yes, you are going against Alex Rawls, who is back-to-back years the number two player in the world, but he's paired with an elite player, right? Duncan Klemmer and Josh Holland should go into that saying, this is a game that we can and should win. And if they can do that, then the Sliders are going to be on a much, much better path than they were in previous seasons. I'm really interested to see Cameron Belvin, you know, just a month and a half off of having her first child. So congratulations again there. She gets to play with her true doubles partner for the season in Tyce Cobb, going up against a Matthew Sorrells, who's making a comeback, and a Blaine Rozier. That's a really, really good matchup that I can't wait to watch. I think it still favors Sorrells and Rozier, but Belvin and Cobb, those are two players that are, they're both playing like the best that they've played in the past. We know that they can succeed, and it could be one that they could ultimately win. So, Mish here, like, I still think the Freeze are going to be a team that's going to be dominant this season, but I'm really excited to see, I'm more interested to see how the Sliders come out, how they come out swinging.
Either one of you know anything about the elite player, Brandon Patterson?
Yeah, Brandon Patterson had a strong showing. I believe it was in West Virginia. I don't know if he had the king seat or if he went deep back to the finals of the king seat match, but he was, I want to say, 40-some rounds with one of the top-tier pros that he played against in his bracket. He looked very impressive doing it, too. He was controlling. He hit his pushes at the right time, kept great composure. I can't remember exactly where he's from, but I've seen him play a couple times now. Both times I've seen him play, I've kind of twisted my head like, huh, who's this guy? I'm going to keep an eye out for him. One guy I want to focus on the Freeze is Matt Sorrells, because you keep in mind, during that draft, they trade away Ryan Hart to get that pick to pick up Matt Sorrells. So if I'm looking at the two head-to-head right now, would I rather have Ryan Hart or would I rather have Matt Sorrells? And I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I'm probably leaning more towards Ryan Hart. And if I look at the rest of their Freeze team, I feel like Ryan Hart could pair up better with those other Freeze players, just in case this one doesn't work out. But Matt Sorrells, you know, very familiar with Blaine. You know, they practice together quite a bit. I do like what the Georgia Sliders have done, pairing the pro partners with the pro partners. But it reminds me a lot of the Michigan Marauders last season, and that didn't work out too well for the Michigan Marauders. So we'll see how it works out here for the Georgia Sliders. But I got Freeze going here 5-2.
Okay, so you said Freeze five wins?
Yep, 5 wins against 2 for the Sliders. That's my prediction.
All right, I like it. Next up, Coasters versus Woodchucks. This is going to be Friday at 7 p.m. for the recording. It's going to air on the 11th at 9 p.m. on CBS Sports. So set your recording for that or be ready to watch that. Trey, what you think?
I mean, look, I mean,
match number one.
it's actually going to be match number 2 on the broadcast to build a little bit of suspense, but we're going to move Frank Modlin and Jamie Graham against Storm Hogue and Nick Moore into game 1. But my goodness, Trevor Brooks, Berkeley Pair, Jacob Trzynski, and Jeremiah Ellis. I mean, are you kidding me right now? I mean, So there's so many different elements here, right? I think there's actually some pressure on these teams to deliver from a pure entertainment perspective. I mean, look, everybody is expecting that game to be just so amazing to watch. Like, that's some pressure in there, right? Like, imagine if Brooks, Pair, Trzynski, and Ellis just kind of go up and throw the bags in the hole, and it's just very low-key. Like, that's – like – to an extent, you almost have to be the team that can find a way to focus, right? Because I can see a situation where both start to get a little bit loud and the other ones are trying to get louder than the other, and then it becomes bad cornhole because they're focusing too much on talking and not enough on throwing the bags. Like, there's got to be some level of balance here. I'm actually really interested to see how Trzynski and Ellis play together. Like, that's such a unique combo that's going to be a lot of fun. We are doing a little feature on Jacob Trzynski, and it is a really good feature. It's a good little clip there that will show there. But it's Ellis's debut. The Ellies finally get to see their guy on television. I think that's really important, and people are going to be excited to see that. And I think ultimately it just comes down to how can he fare and how does he perform when the lights are brightest, right? People can say all the time that he's been in all the different situations. I promise he hasn't been in this one before, right? And I think what's also really good for Ellis, in the grand scheme of things, for him to have his first television broadcast appearance in a teams match that is one of 108 games that contribute towards a regular season, I think that is the best possible news for him, because it's not as if his debut is going to be for in the semifinals of a singles national. Like, that's a lot of pressure to also experience the lights of a TV broadcast all at the same time. He at least gets to get this experience off before he goes into that. So I think that's going to be an interesting one. I'm also looking for Zach Scheibner and Alec Ryan to throw really well together. Miranda and Lori are always a team that on paper, when you add their individual successes together, you don't always get the, you know, you wouldn't expect them to always finish at the top, but they have such good team chemistry that a lot of times in these teams matches, they can surprise a lot of people. Michelle's on mute, Michelle's but I'm assuming she's going to turn it over to...
Yeah. I'm sorry. You guys, my dogs are snoring so loud, I just keep muting myself every time I'm not talking. They are enjoying this broadcast, let me tell you. Wally.
All right, yeah. So this one I have a little bit close, but yes, Ellis making his debut. So in that matchup, all three of, you know, three of those four guys have experience on broadcast, and they've done very, very well there. Ellis is the only one who hasn't been there yet, so... You know, he said, I've talked to him quite a bit. He's going to keep doing his normal thing that he does. He's not worried about anything. But when the lights come on the big stage with crowd and broadcast, will that change? I got faith in my man keeping his composure and staying strong at it. But I actually have this one going 4-3 going into this. I don't think the Woodchucks have a single win yet. But I am going to give the Woodchucks the edge here 4-3. I think it's going to come down to that final match. Miranda and Lori haven't seen too much of them. Tyler and Caleb Franklin, I think, pretty sneaky team there at the end. I believe they could pull one out. The elite players, Colin Hodette and Dawson Manuel, very interested to see what they do. They have been, you know, having a lot of success at the regional level and taking on some big names. I think they can translate to the main stage.
Yeah, I was curious about that. So what do you think about Eric Davis playing with an elite player?
They're from the same area, right, Trey?
Yeah. They play together a lot. And if they don't play together, they're playing against each other. Bag selection wise, I think they're going to be okay. I mean, Dawson's got a little bit of a roll bag and things, you know, and it's got some different shot selections, but you know, Eric can throw just about anything. So I think they'll be just fine. Dawson, the question is just because is Dawson going to be able to handle the pressure, right? Because he's never been anywhere close to that, right? I mean, think about it. He's never been even into a pro event. This is his first year even in the elite experience. And then, boom, first pro event, let's put you on TV. That's a big jump to make. So.
Welcome. Yeah, you were talking about the bag selection with Trzynski and Ellis. I believe they both throw similar bags. The Viper R and the AAR Rippers are pretty close together. So I don't really think it's going to be that drastic of a – switch for them. I think it's just gonna be the mind game. You know, will Trevor and Berkeley try and get in their head? Because I mean, when they paired up together in the offseason, this is all I want to see. Berkeley and Trevor just talking trash to everybody they played.
So yeah, well, Jeremiah will feed off that, no problem. And I'm not sure. All right, last up, Friday 9:30 p.m. we're recording that CBS broadcast, the Ringers versus Burn, to be broadcasted the next day. So we're showing three matches here. So Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, and all of these are going to be great ones. I think the most interesting thing here across the board has got to be all last season, the Pennsylvania Ringers, they were able to win, you know, the team's world championship, but they did it when they had Justin Burton Jr. and Devin Harbaugh together as a team. And in the first game and first opportunity of this season, we see them split up. So I think that's going to be interesting. I think they're trying to really spread out that talent to see if they can snag some additional victories and be even more dominant than they were last year. And time will tell if that's going to be a good opportunity, right? I think on the Burn on the left, I have some question marks, right? How are Colby Shearer and Chris Roybal going to play on television? We know Derek Holland and Moses Sesueta are going to be solid. I think the safer bet would have been to put Holland and Sesueta in the same team, have Reynolds and Lopez go head-to-head against Troxell and Tennyson, and see if you can get those two out of three wins and move on with it and put the rookies together and see what happens. Then by splitting it up, they're saying, we're going to see if we can, you know, perhaps get some experience with our rookies and see if they can blossom right in front of us. So I think it was an interesting strategy by both teams to split up their top players. But in the end, I think it's going to be very, very evenly matched.
I'm also curious about what Colby and Derek will be throwing. I feel like they don't have the same style, but... we shall see. Wally, what do you think?
I don't know. Didn't we see Derek Holland break out some roll bags early in the season? I mean,
those were like ugly, like hop flops. Hey, they worked though.
Yeah. They went in. Yeah, I was actually looking at this and just looking at the titles, Ringers versus Burn. I'm taking Ringers. But then looking at the matchups, I really do like what the Burn have done here. I don't like breaking up Harbaugh and Burton Jr. I think that, you know, we talked to Windsor last year. I think he said set the tone early. I think they had a pretty good opportunity here to set the tone early by taking down Derek and Colby with they were thrown together. And then going into that final match with Troxel and Tennyson against Jeff Reynolds and Ty Lopez, I feel like that favors Reynolds and Lopez. So I'm going to take the Burn here 2-1 on this one. But it's the second names on the Ringers that I have a lot of concern about. You know, Matthew Creek Killer, he's got some off-field stuff going on right now. Him and Justin Burton Jr., what kind of style of play they're going to have. I think if the Ringers want to come out and just run bags and put them in the hole, I think they're going to be shocked at how well the Burn can compete with that in round-limited format. If they muddy it up a little bit, I like their chances better that way. So it all comes down to strategy for me, but I got the Burn going 2-1 here.
Interesting. All right. So that wraps up our teams. And then, as you know, the other teams that will be playing will be on the live stream court. That's going to be Saturday, the Virginia Cutters versus the Freeze and the Bully Baggers versus the Colonel. Is that right, Trey? The Freeze play the Cutters? Okay. So
Freeze they're play playing the Cutters, yes.
Okay. Yep. Got it. All right. I also wanted to get into just quickly talk about some of the elite players. We know that this season as an elite player, you are able to qualify for your chance to play in our shootout and national events. So I just listed them here for you guys. Just wondering if anybody's sticking out to you, whether it's for the shootout or for the national or singles or doubles that you think maybe has a chance of getting there. What about for you, Trey?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting list when I look at it. I think the ones that jump out to me first, you know, names that are going to be the most familiar, right? Spencer Fabianar and Tony Forbes in shootout doubles. I think they're going to be a very tough team for anybody. I think a lot of it's going to rely on Spencer Fabianar. You know, I had a chance to see him at some of the Opens, plays exceptionally well. He came here to Rock Hill and played in a regional, and he was okay, but it wasn't the best that I had ever seen him play. We know Tony Forbes is always going to deliver, so I think it's just a team that will have some upside there. You know, on the shootout singles side, I also think Tony Forbes is obviously going to have an opportunity there to do really well. Brandon Patterson, who's going to play on TV, is obviously for the Freeze, is going to have some level of expectation. On the national side, local here to Rock Hill, Matt Wilson, someone that's been showing up and showing out at a lot of these different opens. And the only time he's losing is when he's losing close games to top level pros, right? So he's time and time again shown that he can compete at that level. So he's going to have a tough seed coming out of the gate, but even with that tough seed, I think he has a chance to at least win a game or two, even if that means in the elimination bracket. Jaden Ellis is going to be obviously tough to beat, but another one is Zach Aiken. Zach Aiken is a young kid, again, from our area. He's a high PPR kid, and someone that's going to put a lot of bags in the hole. And then, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where you just see he throws a 10-2 and loses and you're just like, what happened? And sometimes it may be just be that open board style game that sometimes allows the game to be a little bit easier for his opponents. But, you know, those are some of the ones that I'm looking at.
Wally, how about you?
Yeah, a couple standouts for me. Obviously, Tony Forbes, what he did on the broadcast at New Year's there in Myrtle Beach. He's got the experience. He's got the confidence now. He knows he can win on the main stage. I mean, I feel like I'm giving a lot of California love here. Adrian Brunson and Ty Morris, a couple of youngsters out there that have shown that they can compete with some of the big dogs on the big stage. You know, at a national event, though, at a pro event, you know, again, a lot of pressure on these elite players just to try and make it into the big show. Trey, so correct me if I'm wrong. Is there going to be a chance for these elite players to make it into the pro bracket?
Everybody on this sheet is in the pro bracket already, for sure.
Okay, so I wasn't sure if they had to, like, qualify in, kind of like we did with the PDC last year, if they're already in.
Yeah, okay. All the qualifying happened throughout the season, so they knew they were going for a while now.
Yeah, and then Austin Waskow and Quinn Reeves, a couple players on my doubles radar. And then Mason Trader teaming up with Micah Oaks. I want to see what Mason can do. All the spotlight's been on his brother. There's a lot of talk around St. Louis. They're like, Mason, pass up your brother in the standings. Go out there and show your brother what's up. Play him one-on-one. I want to see who wins. Like, a lot of that fun stuff, a little trash talking back home. So I want to see what Mason can do.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, sorry about that, guys. It was just spam. All right, moving into contender or pretender. We did this with singles. Now we're going to do that with doubles. So read off some teams, and you let me know if you think they have a chance to win a national doubles event. First one, we've talked about it a few times now, but Trey, Jeremiah Ellis, and Ryan Hart. Contender or pretender?
Yeah, I got to see what Ellis is going to do on a broadcast for court before I put him onto a contender, right? Because I know Ryan Hart, once he gets to a broadcast court, can excel at a high level. We saw it in shootout, right? Shootout but a smaller field, though. I want to see more consistency out of that. For now, I'm going to say pretender. I don't know if they have that ability to go through a complete gauntlet of players in order to get there. Because once you get there, you both players have to be playing at an exceptional level. For now, I'm going to say pretender.
Wally?
Yeah, I'm going to go pretender as well. Again, I just think they need a little bit more chemistry. I think their best success have came when they paired up with somebody else this season. I think they did go to a bracket finals once. I'm not sure if that was open number one or where it was. But either way, I do want to see a little bit more cohesiveness between the two of them as far as, you know, who's playing what role. You know, it kind of seems like they're just out there throwing. I want to see more of a team unit.
Okay. Ryan Trader and Alex Hicks. Trey?
I'm going to go contender here. I think these two individually can show that they can play with the best in the world. I had some concerns middle of last year with Alex Hicks and his ability to perform on a broadcast court. And my perception kind of changed even when we got to Spencer McKenzie's. And even though that's kind of a different vibe, it showed me that he could potentially do that. We know they have the talent to win a bracket. So that's not really the answer, the question I have to answer. It's can they perform at the highest level? I think they both can't. So I'm going to say contender.
All right. Wally?
Man, I feel like a canine hater right now, but I'm going to go pretender here. I feel like Ryan Trader's strength comes whenever he's walking down to the other end of the court after a round. It's like he's almost psyching himself up a little bit. You take that away in doubles. They had a strong showing two opens ago, and then the last open they just kind of laid an egg. You know, I didn't really see them on the broadcast court because they had an early loss and then didn't rebound back from it. So one good, one bad. I need to see another one before I put them in the contender category.
Josh Holland and Duncan Clemmer.
I am just absolutely delusional for what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say contender. And I don't know why. I want to be very clear about why I'm saying contender. I can imagine a world in which I get a 2021 Duncan Clemmer and I get a 2019, you know, Josh Holland, or even a 2022 Josh Holland. And those two as individual players, if we paired them up right now, nobody would be doubting their ability to win this entire event because they both had that factor of just being absolutely dominant. They just can't get bored. And they have to channel in some, I would definitely not put them really good favorites in any way, shape or form. I wouldn't even pick them to win, but I guess I'm saying contender because I can see a world in which they go on a run and they take something down this season, even though it's unlikely.
Wally?
Yeah, I'm going to say pretender just for the mindset because, yes, the skills are there. I don't know why. I do like this pairing, though, as a team. I think they did play very, very well together, but everything has to go smooth the entire tournament for both of them to succeed, and I don't see that happening, at least here in the pro event number one. Something's going to fall off, and I want to see how they rebound mentally from it.
Alan Rawls and Chris Kingsbury.
This is a really, really tough one. I think I have to go contender because we saw, you know, I think my big question mark was going to be Chris Kingsbury before the end of last season. And I was just going to say, I just don't know if he can get across the finish line. And then all he did was win a pro shootout in singles and then make it to the singles world championship final he has a chance to win a world championship. Jamie Graham, you know, beat him down pretty good there in the finals. But in the end, Kingsbury was there, and we've seen what Rawls can do. They just like to live under the radar, and I think they'll continue to do it. But they will slow play people to death, and I think that says something about their strategy and their ability to win. So I'm going to say contender.
Well, we got a longer shot clock this season from 12 to 15, so get ready. Wally?
Yeah, I'm going to say contender on this one as well. Less than 15% of the team stuck together last year. This is one of them, and they were very, very good last year. Both very good individually. Alan Rawls never got the love they deserve. Chris Kingsbury, again, Trey said, under the radar. I think the whole team's under the radar, and I really don't know why. They're solid, and they can put bags in the hole with the best of them.
Tanner Halbert and Jacob Trzynski.
I'm going to say pretender, and I hate it. I hate saying it, but I just haven't seen the consistency out of Tanner Halbert in the past year and a half. I want to. When Tanner Halbert is at the top of his game, the game is better, and he can be that level of dominant. I just haven't seen it. Conversely, I like what I'm seeing out of Jacob Trzinski, right? I think him being away from Tony Smith is going to be good for him in singles. But I think it's going to at least take some time for Trzinski and Halbert to build some chemistry and figure out what works. So I'm going to say pretender for now.
Wally?
I'm actually going to go contender on this one. I only have one game where I got to watch them together this entire season. They played together a few times. We had them on the broadcast court in, I don't even know where I was just at, Brighton. And I think they looked pretty good together until the wheels kind of fell off at the end, and then I think there was just a blow-up round by Jake. But going into that, Tanner was throwing like a 10.5, 11, and Jake is very capable to rattle off some bags as well. I think that they're going to shock me at least. Maybe they can shock Trey too. We'll see.
Jimmy Humans and Brady Foster.
I'm going to go pretender here. I got to see a very high level out of Brady Foster. We know Jimmy Humans can get there. He hasn't necessarily been able to get across the finish line, but I know he can flip that switch and be able to do it. I just have not seen the consistency yet for Brady Foster to necessarily win the entire event. They'll make a run. You know, I can see him in a bracket final, but to get all the way to the end and get across the finish line, that'd be tough for me to see. So I'll say pretender.
Wally.
Yeah, I'm going to say pretender for now. Loved what I saw out of Brady Foster and Jimmy Humans in Brighton, Michigan. Brady, I believe in singles, was top five in PPR. So he's shown me he's got it in him. He's improved a lot from what I saw early in the season to now. And I did like the chemistry between Jimmy and Brady. You know, they're joking down and forth to each other, just having fun mid-matches. Like, it's not really that serious. So they're playing a little loose. I think that could work out in their favor the further we get into the season.
All right, just a reminder that when you're watching all of our events for singles and doubles and the shootout and pro women's doubles, all the finals will be held for the kickoff battle number 2, which will be in New Orleans. So bringing it down to the final 4, I think, for women's final 2, to see who the winners are for that. All right, let's go hot takes, Trey.
All right, I'm just going to give my winners. I wrote my article. You may have already seen him by now, but I am going Justin Burton Jr. to win back-to-back national singles kickoff battles. I have him winning national singles. Alex Rawls taking home shootout singles. I really like what I've been seeing from them. I can't overlook what I'm seeing from Adam Hissner and Trey Birchfield. They take down national doubles for me. And then shootout doubles, Gavin Cano and Fisher Hamilton. They won a round limited event last year. I think they can do it again. Gavin Cano is red hot right now. Those are my 4 winners that I'm projecting for this kickoff battle.
Wally?
All right. I'm going to go opposite of you, but very entertaining singles finish. He will not get Gord this year. I'm taking Jacob Gord to take down singles. And I'm going to go with Fisher and Gavin to take down doubles.
Oh, the revenge. He wants it. I guess I'm a little lukewarm. I'm not picking the winner. I was just picking a bracket winner. But we talked about him being underrated. Alan Rawls is going to take down a bracket. National number 1. He deserves the love. So we'll see it. All right, that's all
one of those takes. That's one of those takes that's like it is actually pretty warm, but it shouldn't be. Does that make sense?
Alan Rawls wins national brackets. Still no love.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, but you deserve it, Alan. You can do it, and we all know you can. So let's shout it out there for the world to hear. All right, guys, you can tune into all of that action this weekend. Don't miss any of it. We'll see you there, and see you next week.